Guys, Watch What Crappens is proud to be a part of the 5th Annual Los Angeles Podcast Festival.
The festival is September 23rd through September 25th at the Sofitel in Beverly Hills, California. That's fancy.
If you're in the Los Angeles area and want to see us in the stellar lineup of podcasts at the festival, go to www.lapodfest.com and get your tickets today.
And if you cannot join us in person, you can watch the live video stream from the Podfest itself. Go to www.lapodfest.com to purchase the live stream and use the code CRAPPINS to save $5 off your purchase.
This gets you the live stream for the whole weekend. That's over 30 live podcasts and panels and access to the Podfest video archives, including additional shows from the Podfest preview night at the Hollywood Improv.
Watch What Crappens will be live from the festival on Sunday, September 25th at 7 p.m. Pacific Coast time. You are not going to want to miss this.
Either way, we will see you there, or you'll see us there.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium subscribers, Mia Hansen Aloha, Christy Dougherty, the Wine and Shout Podcast, and our super sponsor, Premium Sugar Mama, Madonna Hines. We love you, girls. Hello and welcome to the Watch What Crappens episode. Watch What Crappens is a podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks podcast and also the Big Brother Smother podcast. And here I am with my gorgeous, talented co-host, Ben Mandelka.
Oh, darling.
Of the B-side blog, the Banter Blender, and Chicken.
I did just buy some chicken at Sprouts yesterday, Chicken.
We are already loopy. We recorded our 100th bonus episode today. Huge landmark episode. And it was covering the standoff with Chris Brown. And that shit is gold. You have to watch it.
When we say covering the standoff, what we mean is we both had the live feed up. Because who knows when you're hearing this, but there was a live feed up on TMZ and we were watching it and we were basically doing play by plays. And we I think are in contention for the Pulitzer because we were making observations like, look at her. She's wearing a red coat. Oh, now she's taking it off. Look at her. Look at her. She's like flirting with a cop.
I was obsessed with this girl in a red jacket and she's totally got like 5 cop phone numbers on her way out of there. By the way, the live stream is still going. I will be paying attention to the show, but if you hear some comments about the girl with the red jacket, that's who we're talking about. Okay, I'm still watching it.
It's the live coverage you always dreamed you could have. You know, we're saying the things the newscasters are thinking. Okay, we're giving it to you live. Okay, we give the real deets. Like we get to the bottom. There's a slip and slide situation, but is it a slip and slide? There's a mailbox. There's a peach. Yes, there's a peach in the situation. So everyone just, you know. And in the middle of that, we also talked about McChicken, which if you don't know what that is, be careful when you Google it.
Yes, yeah, be very careful. Have your parental content filter on when you Google
it. Don't Google it at work and don't do it in front of kids.
Oh, man, that was a good 100th, Ben. Happy anniversary, darling.
Happy anniversary, too. And you know what? Honestly, let me get poignant for a moment. That means that we started doing Patreon about 100 weeks ago. And we've mentioned this every now and then, but Patreon really has changed my life. I was lucky enough last week to get out of debt finally. And that's partially due to everyone's support, being able to spend like not have to scramble for everything and be able to focus on this podcast was really, really helpful. And I was in a bad place with my debt, like a really, really, really bad place. And honestly, the support that we get for this podcast has literally changed my life in ways that I am just really so, so thankful for. So thank you, everyone.
Oh, Ben, I love you. And we love you guys. So thank you for supporting us. And to find those bonus episodes, just go over to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can find all of our links, our social media links and all that good stuff over at watchwhatcrappens.com. Also, we're going to be doing the LA Podfest September 25th. Yeah. It's going to be an amazing live weekend of tons of podcasts. So if you want to come, come. If you want to just watch it, you don't even have to come. Okay, you can watch the live stream.
You can do what you want. Let's face it.
We'll probably still be talking about the Chris Brown live stream during that live stream. It'll be so meta, you guys. But if you want that live stream, go to LA Podfest and use the coupon code Crappens when you purchase your stream, and you'll get a nice fat discount. Mm. And the last little bit of housekeeping is today we also did our tune-in show, and it is all about Lisa Vanderpump's deposition about Brandy Glanville talking about Joanna Krupa's smelly pajayjay. So it has been
the dash of Carlton Gebbia.
Yes, it has been. We're already loopy. If I sound drunk, that's why. I've already been laughing my ass off all morning long with Ben. So you can go find that over at TuneIn. And thank you to everybody who supports us over there. And that's it. We can get into the show now, Ben. It's a big show today, Ben.
Wow. What a show that we have. And, you know, before we get into our show, maybe we should get into a mailbag.
Do it, Ben. Do it.
I will do
Ben.
It as soon do as I pull up the music.
Do it, Ben.
Like I said, why don't we get into a mailbag?
Cough, cough.
Did we, by the way, thank our big-time sponsors? Did you do that at the top of the show?
Already did it, Ben. Already did it.
Wow.
I like to have like a special moment from a sponsors. All sponsors right at the beginning.
Special of you.
Yeah. So what's in there? Tell me everything.
Well, let me tell you what's in the Crabbin's mailbag. There are several things in there, and I will tell you what they are as they come to me as I scroll down.
Are you watching Chris Brown still?
No, I just haven't opened up the mailbag. I was just clicking towards it. Okay, I'm opening, everyone. Okay, mailbag is a little slow today, all right? There's the delivery system is slow. Okay, here we go. Oh.
Someone's coming to a slow stop outside your window. It's like,
there are actually only 4 questions today. This is normally we have like 12. I'm a little, you know, I feel a little neglected.
Well, Chris Brown is busy.
That's
normally
true.
We would have all his questions in there.
Okay, let's start with Henrissa Bassey.
Hi, Henrissa,
who says,
lawyer.
Henrissa, formerly known as Henrissa, but now known as Henrissa. What would be the theme of a Law & Order episode centered on Siggy Flicker as the criminal with Reza and Phaedra as witnesses to the crime? Wow. The theme would be amazing.
Lord, what first of all, what Law & Order is it? Because there's so many. I think the only one on is SVU.
I would say just do a classic one. What would the theme of a Law & Order episode be?
Okay, Phaedra would be walking into, she'd be coming out of an apartment in Washington, D.C., because she's going to meet with some very important people in Washington to talk about her charity, but then she sees a dead person in her.
Well, I think that actually what happened would be that Reza would have hired Mr. Ridiculous for a bachelor party. And somewhere along the way, someone got impaled, and Phaedra witnessed as Ridiculous's pimp. And so Ridiculous is getting framed, but what no one realizes is that Siggy Flicker, she was the one who did it all along, because she just wanted to spend more quality time with Reza, because that's all she wants. Because Reza and Phaedra, they love each other. They just don't get each other. That's all. They just have to learn how to know each other. That's it.
I didn't know I wanted to do it, but then I saw this big, humongous penis, and I decided to impale. I impaled him. That's it. I impaled him. I put it right inside of him, and the blood came out because I impaled him.
She'd be the worst person to do it ever because she would admit to it right up front.
She would admit to every crime. All right, I did it. I did it. But is it a crime to love Sophie? Is it a crime? What is relevance? There is always relevance when it comes to your children. Always, always. I did it. It was a crime of passion because I'm a mother and I love it. My daughters.
I didn't want to impale them. I wanted to impale the phone. The damn phone has come between me and my daughter.
She's sobbing.
Ma'am, the phone isn't even on trial. But I'll tell you what is on trial. My love for my children. It'll always be on trial. And guess what? I'm forever guilty of being the best mother I know how to be.
In the first degree.
Sure, I may not be the best mother.
I may not be the best mother in the world. Give me a little credit, will ya?
Trying.
Credit for trying the best way that I knew how.
And Elizabeth Shue is there, and she's like, wasn't that in Soap Dish that was about that soap opera you were in?
That's so Persian. That's Persian people totally recite things from Soap Dish when they're trying to love their children. And white people are like, I'm not going to speak my feelings. Homegirl is like, Persian to the nth degree. What's up, Siggy?
By the way, over at the Chris Brown update, girl in the red jacket is sauntering around this house like she owns it. And the cops are questioning her again. She's like, do you mind if I have some gum? And she's eating some gum.
Now, what would imagine? Okay, I'm going to... Let's do an impromptu mailbag question. What would happen if Siggy were there right now?
Oh my God! Well, we did Siggy's. We looked at what's his buns? Chris Brown's Instagram, where he was going off on the police during the bonus episode. Okay, so what would it be if that was Siggy?
I'm just imagining Siggy there trying to mediate.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Chris, you gotta come out here, Chris. Christopher, okay, you have to know, I love you. All I care about is your health right now, Christopher. And you have to come out here and you have to talk. Because I told you, you can't have this mansion if you keep causing crimes, okay? And you caused a crime. But you know what? I still love you. You're my son, Christopher.
What is that outside? A bounty house that's not inflated? Christopher, what's happening to you? Christopher, I just want to have a talk with you. Christopher, get off your phone.
Because all he's doing is going on Instagram during this whole thing. So it's actually perfect that Siggy's trying to mediate. But even Chris Brown won't get off his phone for Siggy.
Christopher, you have to speak to these men here. They love you. You don't understand. You guys just don't get each other. You know, you're a very deep person, Chris, and the cop is shallow. So when you're coming from two different places, but you know what I do know? Is that you love each other very much. So come on out, Christopher.
Christopher! He's like, I do jobs! She's like, I know, Christopher. I know. Come down. Do your jobs down here.
Christopher, let me tell you something. You gotta redo your kitchen. I'm sorry. You're moving on. Next chapter. This kitchen's gotta go. I'm sorry.
She's like, he would come out, but he told me he's sick of ratchet assholes coming up on him every 3 months.
He told me Black Lives Matter, okay?
He just kept saying cop to chopper over and over again.
Christopher, the cops are going to keep coming back until you redo your kitchen, okay? That's it. That's what I'm saying. You got to redo it. You got to get a new start on life now, Christopher. I'm telling you because the cops love you, but they don't love this Formica, okay?
Chris, Frank wants you to come down and Frank's the boss.
You gotta do something about this backsplash, Chris. You gotta do something about it. I'm sorry. I love you, Chris. Christopher, I love you. But you gotta change this backsplash. Baruch Ata Adonai backsplash.
Shalom house.
Okay, what else is in that mailbag?
Benjamin Cohen, speaking of members of the tribe, he says, essentially, convicted felon Teresa Giudice and Bethany have the same voice. Yes. The difference being that Teresa is a moron and Bethany is a genius. How do you think it would sound if Bethany called Shree to her office to voice disgust about her skinny Italian cookbooks as a cheater brand? Okay, here we go. Shall I be Bethany? Because you do
okay,
a better
Teresa. Okay, yeah, you be Bethany.
So, what's the matter? What's going on?
Hello? Hello.
What are you saying hello for? Like you're here. Like we know what you're here. Like let's just get to it. Like okay. Like you know what? I'll get right to it, Teresa. Okay. Like I don't like your cookbook. Okay. It's a cheater brand off of Skinny Girl. Like your Italian kitchen. Like I don't get it. It's not Italian. It's not a kitchen. Like it's just like tomato sauce. Like I don't know what that is. Like what? Why? Like who? When? Where? Like how? Like I don't get it. I don't want it. Like I honestly never want to see you again. Okay. I'm sorry.
Hold on. Do you mind if I use your bathroom? Yeah, Joe, stick it inside of me in the bathroom. Joe loves me. Oh, the bathroom, Joe. Take a soaps.
like, I literally don't even know who Joe is. Like, who's Joe? Like who's Joe? There's, like, five people here named Joe. Like, honestly, like, is everyone in New Jersey named Joe? Like, I can't. Like, everyone's, like, a cheater brand of each other. Like, every name is a cheater brand. Like, honestly, like, if I have to, like, talk to you anymore, Teresa, if I have to give you any more business advice, like, I can't. Like, I took you to my brand summit. It's, like, too much. Like, honestly, I'll be on the floor, like, dying in the tomato sauce. Like, just drown me in the plum tomatoes. Like, I literally, I can't. Like, a little bit too much. Like,
Joe, we're leaving. This is the first person to hurt me since I've been back from camps. Joe, we're leaving, Joe's.
So you go to, like, camp, you're, like, an adult, but you go to camp, like, I don't get that, like, what is that, like, why are you in camp, are you, like, a counselor, like, don't you have to be certified to be a counselor, like, I don't get it, like, I don't understand what this camp is, like, you know, is like, when you're a child, you go to camp, but, like, you're an adult, like, I can't, like, honestly, like, do you understand, I don't want to be the one telling you this right now, I don't want to be, do you understand this, that I don't want to tell you that adults don't go to camp?
Sobbing, moving a cup back and forth, like she's trembling, really slowly.
That's the slowest trouble, like, I've ever seen in my life, Joe.
Like I can't. Do you understand? Before we talk any further, do you understand? I don't want to be there. I don't want to be the one telling you this dream.
I don't have any lines right now because Teresa's standing at the elevator trying to figure out how to make it work.
Literally, my wall is up. My elevator wall is up. Like, you can't get out because my wall is up.
Oh, by the way, guess who's famous now?
Who, Girl in the Red Jacket.
Oh, the press is around the Girl in the Red Jacket.
Glad
she took some gum. Stupid.
Oh my god, I'm so jealous. I can't see it.
Oh, mailbag. God damn it, we love you, mailbag.
We love you, mailbag.
So now, here we go to the very luxurious county of Orange.
Oh, wow.
Orange County. Real Housewives of Orange County. Hey, guys, I don't know if you have realized this lately, but Shannon. David, we are so happy.
So happy, David.
That is all I could think about this entire episode. Shannon trying to laugh too hard and saying, I'm so happy.
Am I on a cloud? Yes. Yes. David, why am I on a cloud? David, why aren't we on a plane?
Did you bring my cloud juice, David? Did you bring my cloud antidote? I could die, David.
So there's
David,
still...
David, did you bring my cloud defogger? David. David.
My declouder. David. David was so sweet to bring me into the clouds for our second honeymoon. Unfortunately, I'm allergic.
Unfortunately, I refuse to be on the cloud because people can hack it. David. David.
Oh, David, the only time I go through a cloud is to get to the moon.
Where her real love lies, Dr. Moon's office.
The only time I ever go on a cloud is to see David's Gmail account. David?
David!
I told you, no more Gmail.
I cloud, you cloud, we cloud, we all cloud together, David!
We open in Rancho Santa Fe, the most romantic place north of the Marriott Laguna. I'm trying to come up with, I don't know all the little cities outside, but Rancho Santa Fe does not sound very sexy. It sounds hot.
It sounds very suburban. I think it's an affluent neighborhood, but it sounds like golf courses and wide streets with protected green left arrows and a Wendy's and an El Pollo Loco and perhaps a, you know, Quiznos.
An El Pollo Loco and, like, a competing Taco Cabana, and it's the talk of the town. They're like, can you believe that Taco Cabana would open right up the street, David?
So, it's dinner, the whole family's there.
Dear Jesus, yeah. I just wanted to say thank you for this meal. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Yay, Shannon. Am I right, Jesus?
They're like, oh, Dad, can we just eat our fucking French toast?
Like, it was so romantic, kids. I'm smiling. I'm blushing like a bride, kids.
What a happy family we are. David, David, aren't we a happy family? So happy right now. I can't believe it.
We're going to be going to Cabo, kids. Wait a minute. What if I get sick and they don't have stuff? Will they have it in Cabo, David?
He's like, oh, Jesus. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for hanging up. Please get back on the phone.
It could be very difficile to find things. Difficile? Yeah. Difficulty? David? David, what's the word? David. Said,
I know my Spanish. I play second in the national Spanish competition. Pono Poquito Tortilla Picante, David.
Where did you grow up? Quesadilla
Taco Picante. Tomatillo, David. David, who's Tomatillo?
So then we get over to Megan and Jim, the second most exciting couple on the show.
You know, yeah.
Megan, hey, Jim, what's the weather going to be like in Palm Springs? He's like, shut up, babe.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, he's so funny, isn't he?
She's like, yeah, Jimmy, he's like really grumpy, but he like really was tearing up over those vow renewals because he secretly wants one so badly. And Jimmy's like looking through his clothes like, yeah, babe. Yeah, whatever, babe. Yeah, shut the fuck up.
He's like, I was yawning so much that like literal tears came out. He was not feeling anything. We saw him. He was facing away from you the entire time, Megan.
He was crying because some sand blew in his eye.
He was crying because he was too drunk when he married you not to sign a goddamn prenup. Trust me, that's the only reason you're around. No offense.
He was crying because he's like, oh, fuck. Now Megan's going to want to have vow renewals, even though I just married her 18 months ago.
Well, that's confirmed. I do, but even more now, because my friend passed away one time. Like, oh, Megan, oh, jeez.
I want to renew my vows, and I want to make sure that when we do it, you inject me with something, because, like, needles are a really big part of my story now.
I dedicate these vows to prostate cancer. So we can next we go. I just blew snot out of my face. God, it's so gross.
So now we go to Palm Springs,
the Merv Griffin estate.
Oh yeah, Merv Griffin estate, which is where Vicky and the grandkids and Brianna, they rented it for Vicky. I can't speak.
Every Vicky's time I would watch Wheel of Fortune, I would see, you know, Merv Griffin.
Didn't he produce like all those game shows?
That's yeah, they didn't know who he was. I'm like, have you never seen Jeopardy before? Jesus.
You totally asked that in a question form, and it should have been in an answer form, Ben.
Who is Merv Griffin?
Who knows? Am I right?
Oh, God, are we in Jeopardy? What's going on? Oh, God. Baby Troy. Get Baby Troy. Get down to Storm Shelter. Tornado. We're in Jeopardy. Pop strings.
Baby Troy would be sucked up by a hurricane because he'd just be outside like, I went through a ball and pool. I'm on the bowling pool. That's all he thinks about is throwing balls in pools. Yeah. Like he did it 20 times this episode.
I know. The entire episode was them fetching balls out of the pool. Merv Griffin's ghost is like, I did not make those pools for balls to be thrown into.
And Merv Griffin's like, girl, that is a good game show idea. Baby's throwing balls in pools. How did I not think of that? He's all rolling over in his Jeopardy grave.
Pool of fortune.
He's like rolling over in a Jeopardy grave. Who's Merv Griffin? Finally, these bitches learned how to play this game.
Yeah. Yeah, because then we see, because Tamara's like, I think he's a talk show host. And Brianna's funny. She's like, I know who he is because there's a Seinfeld episode, which, of course, we all remember. And then Kelly's like, I don't even know who Merv Griffin is. This is the woman who loves to announce, I am educated. You called me that? I am educated.
Kelly, I hope he's single. You're married. So how about you pretend that you're not still cheating on your husband openly? Like, right after you whined about your daughter thinking you're a whore on national TV, she's like, I hope he's not married.
I don't know who Merv Griffin is, but this house is atrocious.
Poor Merv Griffin. He's like, this is what I built. Like, this is what I built right here. These dodo birds walking around the house. Like, who's Merv Griffin? I don't know, you know?
I don't know. I don't watch Harry Potter. No, that's Griffin.
Did he invent the games on the back of the Captain Crunch box? That I don't care. Woohoo. Woohoo. Who cares? Woohoo cares.
I don't know. I don't watch sports. I don't know who Merv Griffin is. That's Merv Albert. Merv Albert. I don't know.
Herb Albert. Oh, I loved whipped cream.
I love shopping at Albertsons.
Fat Albert. God, he was fat.
Why are you calling me fat?
They just Bitch! Have. They just have, like, really the most extreme telephone game of all time. Like, do you know who Merv Griffin is?
Why are you calling me fat?
Wow. Well, this was kind of a Tamara telephone, this whole episode. Because this whole episode was centered on shit that Tamara heard that she repeated to other people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And Tamara did her usual line is, when am I going to learn to shut my big fat mouth, batch? Like, I don't know. It's been about 6 seasons and you still haven't learned. So I wouldn't put too much hope into that.
But I like that this Christian Tamara is at least being funny about it. She's like, when will I ever learn to be quiet, batch? Like, she totally is doing it on purpose. And it's kind of hilarious. I can't believe I am liking Tamara. It feels so uncomfortable.
Well, I always like her and I always hate her at the same time. I never truly hate her. I never, you know, there's certain people on these shows that I hate. But like Tamara, I'm always like, she is such a vile person. But I like, truthfully, I love her. She's Tamara.
Well, she's always hilarious. She's consistently always hilarious. I've always thought she's funny. But yeah, I've
hated
her.
She's never had a dull season. I think she, believe it or not, I think she's one of the few housewives that has never, ever, ever had a dull season. And that's amazing considering how many seasons she's been on. And you know what? The same could be said for Vicky.
I don't know. Vicky went through that whole season. Remember when she was all depressed and she's like, woohoo. Woohoo.
Oh, that's true. Her love Whoop. Tank. Yeah. Whoop. And some of the Dawn seasons were a little boring.
Whoop.
So meanwhile, back in Rancho Santa Fe, Shannon and David are packing for Cabo. So we have all sorts of exciting glimpses into their super happy marriage. Like Shannon saying, David, wear the tennis shoes, David.
And David saying really romantic things like, dear, do you want your distilled water?
I slept in my robe over my negligee. David, isn't that a great way to resuscitate our sex life when I get into bed in a robe over my negligee?
I brought some chemical-free Band-Aids just in case we want to get spicy later.
I feel like I have to look under the bed. David, what's under the bed?
That was hilarious, bed, Shannon, David? Just looking under the bed over and over.
What did I forget? You want your nasal
The worst
thing.
Remake ever of Poltergeist.
David, is there a clown under the bed? David.
The little girl just keeps running from the light.
She's like, God damn it, get back here.
The clown skitters away.
Ah!
All the skulls in the pool are like, you know, bye. We're going to leave to Rancho Santa Fe. David, I love when for some reason... But I love when Shannon gets up from the bed. She's like, I'm a little dizzy now. A little dizzy.
God.
David.
They showed David a couple of times where he was just like, are you fucking kidding me, lady? I planned like a 20-course anniversary, and you're looking under the bed, and now I have to remind you about nasal drip or whatever while we're trying to be romantic. Can you please at least pretend?
Like, David, nasal passages. He's like, oh, geez, dear. Oof.
David, I love you so much, but I'm having 20 to 30 negative thoughts about my packing right now. So just give me a moment. Let me look under the bed one more time before my dizziness comes back. Oh, ooh, ooh, David.
So
swirling,
back...
David.
Swirling.
So back
Here
over
at Chambador killed my dizziness from looking under the bed because David couldn't pick up everything for her.
Here's a Shannon Bedore swirl. Dead. Dead swirl. Dead. Who's is Shannon Bedore swirling the life ice cream cone?
Nope. So back over at Megan's, Megan's like, yeah, me and Vicky are trying to move on. And she goes, yeah, well, she's, you know, like Merv Griffith's house is right next to where we're staying. So when in Rome, and Jim goes, you don't even know what that means. Stop saying it.
Yeah. When in Rome, go to your neighbor's house.
She's like, yeah, that's true. Like, I don't know. Like, I keep hearing it.
Yeah, that literally made no sense. You saying when, just because you're, well, we're going to be in the same neighborhood. So, you know, when in Rome.
It's like, please stop saying that. You're embarrassing.
You know, birds of a feather. No, that doesn't work either. Well, that's the way the cookie crumbles. A little better.
You know, we'll go see Vicky because, you know, takes one to know one, am I right? He's like, oh, you are so stupid. Please don't talk.
You can't have your cake and eat it too. No.
Want not. Am I right, Jim? It's like, oh,
good work if you can get it. I don't know if that's even the right expression.
Hang in there. Okay, so we're back in Palm Springs at Merv Griffin's house, and Tamara has arrived with Kelly, right? With Kelly?
Yeah,
that's,
they arrived.
That's a bad sign. I can't believe Kelly didn't come filled with poison to spew at Vicky, because normally if Tamara has you alone for 2 hours in a car, you will leave filled with total bile that you just want to get out all over everybody else.
Yeah.
But she didn't. And she so they're talking, and the kid, I want to a ball and pool. He's doing that, and they're like, so, Vicky, are you dating Betch? And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, the guy here, guy there. It's called playing the field, ladies. I play on the field, love tank. When has Vicky not been dating 10 guys on this show, even when she's been married? Like, who are you kidding, bitch?
That's probably why Brianna told her son, Nana's a tramp.
She's like, maybe this time he won't have been arrested. Maybe he'll have a job. And Cameron's like, yeah, maybe like this one, like, I don't know, like she won't have to buy him new teeth and he won't be lying about counter. Okay, batch?
Batch. Mm. So we learn that Vicky is going to surprise Brianna with Ryan because Ryan, you know, Ryan's trying to wrap up his tenure with the Marines.
No,
and
he's
so...
not trying to wrap it up. He's in the process of medically retiring.
Oh, because he has that back issue.
Mm-hmm.
Or that quote-unquote back issue. So so Vicky's going to surprise Bree with Ryan showing up. So that's an exciting thing. And then they're talking about Shannon. And Vicky's like, well, oh, yeah, well, you know, Shannon, she didn't respond to me until today. And she said, oh, sorry, I'm going to Cabo. But, you know, she's just going to throw out her friendship. That's fine. I think it's sad. But you know what? Like, you know, I hope her vows were good. But, you know, didn't work for me and Don. So good luck with that.
Oh, my God. Such a good point, too. And I love that she's such a bitch. Vicky says so many evil things in this episode
so
calmly. Just like, oh, well, you know, hope it works out better than it did for me.
Oh, yeah. You know, I really feel sorry for David because he's going to pay for that affair for a long time.
Oh, that was the best part.
But she's not wrong.
Yeah, she's not wrong. He's going to be paying for that forever.
Yeah.
So Brianna wait. I'm trying to find where I'm on my notes. I'm so sorry I got distracted because on the Chris Brown live stream, girl in the red jacket is now standing. Okay, you know when one leg is straight, but then one toe is crossed over the ankle? Like a girl from the 50s talking, and she's talking really animatedly to the cops. Like she's telling them all this wonderful story. She's like, Anton, can you guys believe it? And I'm like, oh, Jesus,
batch.
Red jacket, batch. Okay, enough of that. I'm not looking at that anymore.
Okay.
Tamara goes, yeah, Vicky, like, seriously, like, if you're dating someone, batch, like, you should bring them around. Like, it's so weird. Vicky doesn't like bringing guys around us, like, because of Brooks. And I'm like, whatever. It was just a fake counter. You have tried to rip down everybody at all times. Don't pretend that was just Brooks. Who was the one before Brooks? Don? It was Don, was it?
Yeah. She mainly just tried to bring down Brooks.
Like, he's the piece.
Everyone did. Yeah.
But that was like trying to get back at Vicky for saying that her husband was abusive. Oh, this show. Oh, the history. So Heather.
So,
Heather's not coming.
Yes. So now, yeah,
Cameron,
Heather's
Brianna,
not coming.
You said that. Heather and Terry date night, right?
Yeah. Heather and Terry on one of their like billion date nights. And they sit down and the waitress asks if there's any like dietary issues. And Terry goes, oh, I'm on the seafood diet. You know, I seafood and I eat it. It's like, great one, Terry. Haven't heard that one before. And the waitress just gives him this look like, really? This is my chance to be on OC? And you're doing this to me? Get out of my restaurant.
I know. She's like, okay, old person, here's something to shit in case you can't make it to the toilet. Hey, let me guess, when you leave, when I pick up your plates later, you're going to say, nope, didn't like it at all when there's nothing left on your plate.
Yeah.
Are you going to do that? Are you going to do it?
Go fuck yourself, sir. Go fuck yourself. Oh, Alfredo, be quiet.
So Heather
Alfredo's
goes
very feminine.
She's like, "Where's Alfredo? We love Alfredo." Heather is going on and on. She, you know, Heather's typical thing where she's trying to pretend she's enjoying date night, but her eyebrows are, you know, in the back of her head, and she has her big old gerbil eyes, and she's like, this is so great. And, you know, when I was with the kids the other day, we had a great time. Here's a great story, Terry. We went to the park, and then we went home. I'm like, God, no wonder this guy never comes home. You're exhausting. Like, that was
exactly.
Nothing happened.
Well, so then he's like, yeah, so Max is sending me pictures of empty chairs, of things I'm not at. And you can see Heather just getting so jealous. Like, those are my chairs. My chairs. I want to sit there. If you want this chair, then fine. You can have this chair. Fine.
I keep trying to tell him, Max, that chair was only empty because I was in the bathroom. It wasn't empty.
But if you want to sit there, fine.
She's like, I told him, listen, no empty chairs, empty tables here. We named her Colette, not Cosette. Remember, we used to think her name was Cosette. We'd make so many Les Miserables jokes.
Oh, I love when we get something wrong and then just like run with it. Like when we did Apple Socks for Ramona and we had like an entire episode of Apple Socks jokes and we found out it was not that at all.
So this is a typical way these relationships always end. He's like, well, I need to spend more time with the kids. Maybe this year I won't be so busy and then I'll be home on the weekends. And she's like,
Okay, well, I want to believe you, but I don't think you're capable of following through with that, Terry.
Which, let's face it, if he was home, Heather would kill him and herself. She doesn't want him home.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, Heather wants it two ways. She'll spend episodes where she'll be like, I'm doing everything. Okay, I'm building a house. Okay, I'm taking the kids to school. I'm working. I'm on Malibu Country season 14. Okay, I do everything and I don't get any credit for it. I'm half of this marriage. And then in this one, she's like, listen, you know, I'm around the kids all the time. And sometimes I have to work. And very rarely, but most of the time, I'm just dedicating myself to the kids. I'm like, well, what is it? You're like working like crazy? Or you're being, like, with kids all the time. Which one is it, lady?
Yeah, because these women are all full of some bullshit. But Heather can't help but be honest, you know? Like, even when she's lying, you see it all over her crazy gerbil face. And I don't believe for one second that Heather went to a park with her children. Does anybody? Is there one person? If there's one person can prove that that's the truth, I will give you a McChicken.
To be fair, she considers the foyer a park. Well, there's a plant there.
It was actually Park Overall's house. Backyard.
You know, I've always been a Laverne head.
We worked together that one time. We were on the folding chairs together before a commercial audition for toothpaste, believe it or not, because I was just telling the kids how they have to brush your teeth. And then one said, what about daddy? And I said, oh, here we go.
You know, I never thought that when we auditioned for Empty Nest together, I would actually be living in an empty nest. Come home, Terry.
I told Park, I'm living your life. I'm living every show title you ever made.
And I'm wearing overalls. So.
And seriously, I'm over it all. Okay, Park.
Park's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Why did I move to Malibu Country? I'm the asshole in this relationship, that's for sure.
But I will say, I mean, it is a little fucked up when Terry's like, all right, well, I'm gonna make an effort, you know, like, I'll be around for dinner now, and like, you know, no more not being around on the weekends and not even showing up for dinner. I'm like, wow, I mean, do you spend any time with your family, Terry? Like, what's wrong with you?
No, he doesn't at all. But then Heather, you know, Heather's like,
of course you should do a botched kids. Of course it's been up for the great.
They did a spinoff, but I forget what it's called.
It's like, called like Botched by Nature, which means basically people who
ugly
are ugly. Botched by Nature.
That is
so mean. You're botched by nature. No, you were born that way, baby. Beautiful. So anyway, back over at Merv Griffin's estate. So Kelly and Tamara are talking about Heather, and there's this thing. So now the whole thing, they're just talking about Heather because Kelly is now like doing her impersonation of Heather, and Kelly is just going off on Heather about how like high and mighty she is, and she goes, you don't, it's talking about, that's crazy, like, you don't act like you're a hierarchy than me.
A hierarchy.
You're a hierarchy Jesus. Than me. I am educated. That's a nutritious attitude to take. Nutritious, I tell you. Don't be a hierarchy on me.
Get off your archy, lady.
You're not hierarchy than me.
Come down to you're the lower archy, okay, with all the other animals. And then Kelly's standing up for herself, and she's like, I sent her a text. Okay, I know that wasn't nice of me to call her and a fucking bop, 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 bop. But the next day, I sent her a text, and she didn't even write me back. And then it goes to Heather, like, well, that crazy lady, like, she called everybody up. But then she sent me a text. Okay, and listen, Terry, it says, I was very wrong. I'm sorry about the words coming out of my mouth. But then she ends it with an emoji that's making this face. Bleh. What does that mean, Terry? What is that emoji? Who does that?
You know what, though? I'm with Heather on that. Like, who ends an apology text with the emoji that has one eye blinking and a tongue sticking out? Like, what? I mean, Kelly is, like, she really is a tire fire, and I love her. But she is, I mean, she is such trash. Like, she is such trash, but hilariously wonderful trash. I mean, we'd be nowhere without her. So, Kelly, if you're listening, I'm saying you're trash, but truly from a place of love. Like, you don't have to get defensive. We love you because you're so, so, so trashy.
Yeah, that was like a Ray. It's like a Ray trash where we mean we love you and we want to go to Ibiza with you.
It's like Oscar the Grouch. Oscar the Grouch lives in trash. He's nothing but trash, and he's beloved by America. So you are basically our Oscar the Grouch, but you're Oscar the Lush.
Basically, your personality is pilling our green fur. So we love you.
I also love that when she's talking to Tamara, Tamara is like, I can't believe this batch doing this impersonation. Do you ever think before you speak? I'm like, Tamara, please.
Cut to Tamara laughing her ass off at said impersonation.
I know. But by the way, it's bad if even Tamara is telling you to think before you speak when she's the queen of just speaking without thinking.
Totally. I know. This whole turnaround with Tamara is hysterical to me. I can't wait to see her return to Satan. That's going to be the best dinner party.
And the whole rest of the episode, by the way, is Tamara being like, I got to learn to shut my big mouth. There goes my big mouth again. When will I ever learn my big mouth?
It's starting everything. Love it.
Yeah.
So the other big surprise, you know, Vicky is a very entertaining person. Nothing really too surprising or fun about her. It's like, oh, the first surprise is Ryan. Oh, wow. That sounds great. It's like a parade, a very slow moving, wonky parade that might yell at you if you put your feet on something. And then the next surprise, Michael wanders in and she goes, my son! My son!
He's like, hey.
And he's like, oh, Jesus. He always has that look on his face like, oh, fucking A, jeez. What am I even doing here?
The kids are here. Oh, great. Now I got hit by a pool noodle. Great.
Balling pool. You want to go balling pool? And Brianna's like, well, you know, he's not real into the kids yet because he's still playing around, playing the field, you know, and... But now that they're old enough to play soccer and stuff, he's real into it. And then it just shows the kids hitting him with noodles, and he's like, whoa.
That's great. I'm gonna go to the Ace Hotel. So then the thing is, before Michael comes in, right before, they're all, like, sitting around a table. We learn, by the way, that Tamara is – well, we got a hint of this before, but she's planning a trip to Glamis Dunes for Eddie's birthday. I'm like, how many birthday parties do we have? It's like every episode's a birthday party. But then everyone's – so now there's, like, some gift giving around the table. And so Kelly gives a gift to Vicky, and then she also gives one to Brianna because her birthday is coming up. And now Tamara, of course, is like, I can't believe that Kelly knew that Brianna's birthday was coming up and got her a gift, and, like, no one told me. Like, great. Thanks, Vicky. Now I'm the bitch. I didn't give her a gift. I can't believe that Kelly's on the inside track and not me. Oh, my God. You women just are, like, every single thing becomes, like, a crime against humanity, like victimization. I can't believe I wasn't told about getting a gift for Brianna.
Yeah, thanks, Dax.
Sorry, you already bitch, gave Brianna longer.
Yeah, you've already given Brianna a gift, and it was that string tank top that said, what did it say? It was like, Psalms number 519, batch. Batch not, lest you be batched. Whatever. And it was like some string tank top, five sizes too small for Brianna. So you've already been thoughtless and thoughtful
as
at
I
the same time.
I walked through the valley of the batch.
The only way to get into heaven is through me batch. Batch versus batch. Dot, dot, batch.
Do unto betches as betches would do unto ya.
I'm out of Bible quotes. I'm like, and then she cut off his hair. What a batch. Like, I have no quotes.
What a batch. Way to take away his power, batch. But I bet that hair looked great on your batch.
Okay, so now let's go over to Cabos and Luke.
Never mind.
Oh, no, okay. You're right. Yeah, I wrote, Ryan arrives with man boobs. That's all I wrote.
Ryan shows up. I think the only reason why he showed up is because he heard that someone had their feet up on a couch. Let's be honest. Let's face it.
Get your feet off the couch, bitch.
Who told you I'd be coming? Who? Shut up, bitch. Who told you I'm coming to Palm Desert? Where's Merv? Where is he, bitch? I'm trembling in my boots. Where's Merv?
Who do you know on Merv Griffin's dates? Who? Who do you know on Merv Griffin's dates? You're rude.
You're trash, Kelly. You're trash. But it was cute moment when Ryan showed up and the kids were screaming like, Daddy, you know, that's nice. It's that always works. The soldier comes home early, surprises the family.
Whatever. He hasn't been a soldier. He's been sitting in Oklahoma getting fat because he has like a slip disc or something. I'm falling for it with Ryan, okay? Ever since he yelled at somebody's mom, I don't care. No, bad Ryan, bad.
I'm with you. I feel like that was something that was really never addressed, and the fact that they didn't even talk about it on the Real Housewives Uncensored still makes me mad.
It makes me sad because, you know, like mother, like daughter, and I just hope that Brianna didn't marry a total jackass like Vicky did. I mean, Don was kind of nice. I actually liked Don, except when he called Vicky a bitch and stuff on national TV. That wasn't very
Don
nice.
Don was nice, but he was a putz.
Yeah.
So anyway, so now over in Cabo, we get to see David and Shannon's video diary because we just love each other.
Shannon's drunk on they're doing a little Shannon David cam. It's, yeah. Neither one of them knew how to work, which was so funny. They kept turning it on themselves, and David's bug eyes would be like, well, I think it's on, dear. Are we supposed to press this button? I think it's on. David, is it on? And then they turn it back. And now get me running up the beach like Bo Derek. It's like, is that really a good idea, Shannon?
The video diary basically consisted of her listing things that she forgot. Well, you know, we're here, but I forgot my hairbrush and my bathing suit and toothpicks. And, you know, I was thinking about bringing a pizza cutter, but, you know, I didn't bring that. I wouldn't want pizza anyway. But, you know, it's good to demarcate where you're going to be on the beach. You make a little line in the pizza cutter and forgot a saran wrap and some distilled water. And I think we also forgot a foam tombstone, you know, for those moments we need to guilt David.
And David forgot swimsuits.
David planned the trip, for Christ's sake.
He's like, wow, why don't you come out of the water like Bo Derek, dear? Oh, that blonde lady coming out of the water. Like, oh, David.
He's like, hey, dear, why don't you run all the way down the other side of the beach and come running back very slowly, very, very slowly. All right, David. He's like looking around, just checking out everyone else on the beach, giving himself one glimpse. Then she runs up and shows her boots. David. This is what you want to see, David. Russ? David?
Yeah, she's like, yeah,
this is some boobies.
So now Tamara gossiping with Vicky back at the Merv Griffin Ranch, and Tamara starting shit. They're cooking in the kitchen. Yeah. Well, Vicky is. And Tamara's like, I'm really, like, concerned. What do you think about Kelly coming onto this party to glamour stints?
Because, like, what if she comes batch? And then she says, like, batch. Like, there's going to be cats. And, like, you know, like, Heather's worried. Like, what if her kids get ruined by batch?
And Vicky's like, oh, gosh, is Heather coming? Oh, gosh, she's bringing her son. How did Heather make this about herself? Which is so true, of course. Everything revolves around Heather and who she will or will not film with.
And by the way, I think Kelly should be the least of her concerns. I mean, has she not seen Tamara how she behaves at a party? Come on now. Or Vicky?
Yeah. Your kids basically sit around a TV and watch your husband, like, mark tits with a Sharpie to decide how to make them more fuckable. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that you've kind of lost ground on that moral issue, lady.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Glamis batch.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I just had Glamis written down again.
So the big question of, like, well, will it be cursing? So now Kelly's getting riled up. She's like, what? I am a grown woman. She thinks I don't know how to talk around kids. I have a child. I have the most well-behaved child.
Now she's overly mad and also kind of drunk. And she's like, hey, look, I'll call her a cut fitness at adult hours, okay? I don't have to do that at lunch. For Christ's sake.
Who does she think she is, that dumb fuck? Of course I can control my mouth. Hey, baby Troy.
Ball and poo. Okay, so Tamara is on the phone with Heather. She's like the Batman villain. Like, listen here, Batman. She's on the phone with Heather tattletaling.
Yeah, and then Heather's like, I'm not mad at Kelly. I'm just horrified by her behavior. Because Heather's whole thing now is like, you know, I got an apology, but then I heard she was imitating me. I'm like, you have to really calm down, Heather. Okay, just calm down.
And Tamara goes, yeah, but why didn't you respond to her text? She should have responded to her text. And Heather's like, I didn't respond to emojis. I did not appreciate the behavior of that emoji.
She's like, I sent her a symbol emoji, you know, like one of those symbols in the back of the emoji pile that's like super boring that no one ever uses. It's like, thanks, Heather. Thanks for sending me that strange symbol.
It's like a caution sign in France. Like, what the fuck is this?
The emoji people are like, someone finally used that emoji we have at the back of the pile.
Or the Heather Mallhouse emoji, just that like palace that's like a five-story mall. It's like, mall emoji!
Or one of those annoying landscapes that's in a picture frame. I hate those emojis that are in a frame. It makes them so small. But meanwhile, while Tamara's talking to Heather on the phone, Kelly is now at the pool and she's all fired up again, being like, why does Heather think that, like, you know, like, I'm just going to be cursing like a sailor? Like, you know, she doesn't know me. She doesn't know anything about me. I'm like, well, yeah, but what you've shown her is that you are a drunken mess who curses like crazy and you're out of control. I mean, I think Heather's within reason for thinking that she'll be a total disaster. And sorry, Kelly, you got to like own up to your actions.
Yeah, but also Heather's on a housewife show, so people don't have to go by your stupid book of rules, Heather, especially when you're so nouveau and you don't even follow those rules yourself. Except please and thank yous, but come on, Heather.
I mean, Heather's definitely exploding it. She's definitely being like, oh, I have a chance to be high and mighty. So she's definitely taking it way too far. But Kelly is also in denial. Yeah. You know, like she has to understand that if you act like garbage, people are going to treat you like garbage. Yeah, especially if they just met you.
Yeah, unless you're Chris Brown. You don't put out your garbage on the right days, as we learned today.
Okay,
update. Everybody's walking into Chris Brown's house now with face masks on. Not like terrorist ones, but paper face masks.
Oh,
I think, they're afraid of syphilis or something. I don't know what they're going to catch in there. The cold? I don't know. But the girl with the red jacket is still telling the story to the police, and they look like they want to kill her. Okay, so Kelly is saying all that stuff, but she's doing it in front of the men, and the men are like, really? Ryan's like, I just got here. I still have... This stupid talk is what slipped my disc in the first place. Like, he probably slipped his disc yelling at that old lady in the first place. And now he's listening to Kelly go off, and Mike just looks, he cracks his back. He's like, can I go check, please?
Yeah.
And then to make things even better, Megan's going to come. But Tamara's like, Megan says she doesn't know if she wants to come, bitch, because it's like 45 minutes away. Like, it's because she's doing the walking directions instead of the driving directions.
She's so stupid. They're like, it's like Quinta. There's like one street.
Justice knowledge. I was like 40 minutes away. That's so far. But then I investigated. Turns out it's only 1 minute away. Justice.
By the way, I have to say that the funniest part about Ryan being there is that when Kelly was again ranting, and she was talking about like she doesn't like people telling her what to do, and she's like, "What about you, Ryan? Would you like it if some random person told you what to do?" And he's like, that's my least favorite thing is when some random person tells me what to do. Now, excuse me while I go yell at a random old lady about getting off the couch.
Exactly. I think that's why he got so mad, because she's like, don't yell at me. And he's like, how dare you tell me what to do, bitch?
That couch came from Ashley Furniture. It is precious. Get off of it. How dare you disrespect my mother-in-law,
who he's done nothing but like throw shade at the whole time. Oh, gosh. So Megan shows up, and she's brought a gift, and it is a wine glass and a tumbler. Why are those all over my TV? I can't with those. It's like the white trashiest thing, and they're everywhere. She's like, here's your gift. I got it from the bedroom in the hotel.
I thought you said that you were going to say that she got them the gift of awareness, that she's now pregnant, because that is the most precious gift we could have, knowing that Megan is pregnant.
Vicky's like, oh my God, you're 2 weeks into understanding the adult conversations. Congratulations, Megan. Woohoo.
Meanwhile, she's like, look, I have a bump. I'm like, no, you just had a burrito. Okay, that's all that is.
It's like, it's a boy and a girl. I can feel them inside of me.
How big is that penis? Does the penis even develop? Oh my God, someone's taking his shirt off in front. Is that Chris Brown taking off his shirt?
Oh my God, I have to go on. I can't wait.
Oh, I'm so sorry. This is my fault. I'm sorry. I've been paying attention. But now someone's like taking off his shirt. Oh, he put it back on. Okay. Emergency over. Some girl's eating a lollipop. Okay, emergency over. So Megan comes over. And the end of that scene, Megan goes, so Vicky, how do you know Merv Griffin? LOL.
I think that is, by the way, I went on. It does look, no, it's not. It's not Chris Brown. It's too cooperative.
His facial bones are strong like that, right?
Yeah, now you got me looking at it.
It's a different guy because he's also wearing those like... those flip-flop shoe things. It's not this. This guy hasn't been out here before, and he's gesturing like a crazy drug addict, Chris Brown. But wouldn't they have him on the floor with his hands behind his head because he's been refusing to come out?
I mean, the face sort of looks like Chris Brown, to be honest.
It doesn't. He's talking all kinds of nonsense.
It looks too friendly. He looks too friendly. His body language is too friendly. So I'm going to say it's not Chris Brown, but it sort of looks like Chris Brown.
Me too. But guys, now everyone has plastic on the case. Gloves. Yeah, now everyone has plastic gloves on too. Okay, so Shannon. Happy! So that's like a scene of that. That's all I wrote. Shannon, happy.
Basically, David was like naked in the hot tub, and she's like, ha! David! Ha! So happy.
I was like, I wonder if my potatoes are finished cooking in the toaster oven. They weren't, so I came back and watched some more TV.
David never liked to swim in hot tubs before. David. David!
So Heather, Tamara, and Kelly. Okay, so they're back in Orange County, and Tamara's like, I've got an idea. Why don't we all three go to lunch and work this out? Which, is never a good idea. But this time, shockingly, it kind of was. Tamara, again, still buying it, Tamara. Nice work. So she takes Heather and Kelly to lunch. And Heather's like, listen, Tamara. Kelly's not there yet. Heather's like, listen, Tamara, I just don't know if I want to see Kelly after her behavior. Her behavior, Tamara. Her behavior. But out of respect for you, I will have lunch with her.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Heather. And then, by the way, I thought you'd be so excited when this waitress came, because this waitress is probably wins the award for most waitressy Bravo waitress of all time, because she literally came to the table and goes, hi. I literally thought it was – I actually thought it was Kelly approaching, because it was such a familiar hello. And I was like, oh, wait, that's just a waitress?
It's like, stop imitating Alfredo and bring me an iced tea.
Now get away from your Alfredette. So then Kelly comes in. We know she's serious because she's wearing a very serious fedora. She's like, all right, I'm wearing my Arizona fedora.
And she walks in like that too. Kelly's like, hi, how are you guys? And Heather goes, exhausted. I've been up since 3 a.m. And Kelly gives her a look like, okay, bitch. And then she goes, I'll have a Pellegrino.
Yeah.
Which has to be the funniest thing Kelly said all year.
She unfortunately thought it was a cocktail. This cocktail's not very strong, bitch.
She's like, is he married? So they all just stare at each other, because Heather's looking at her like, where's your apology? Giving her that look. And Kelly's looking at her like, where am I? Who's Pellegrino? And what's a taco? Like, she has no clue what's happening. And Tamara's all uncomfortable, so Tamara just says, this is great, bitch. Going great. So Heather has to get into it, and she's like, I feel like we were getting along really well.
Claw hand, claw hand, claw hand.
Hand, claw hand, claw hand, claw. I've never been involved in something like that. That language, that behavior. I felt like I was suffocating and I had to leave.
Not even Rip McIntyre talked like that on the set of Malibu Country, which I was once on. Thank you very much.
Did she want a Frito? No. But when they were put on the craft services table, she said, thank God, thank Fritos, thank everybody, thank you, lighting person. And we said, wow, what a person. Do you know what I'm saying? Kelly's like, where am I? Who is this bitch?
Let me tell you something. Reba McIntyre would never say go fuck yourself, you dumb fuck. Never. Because she is a lady. That's why. Claw hand, claw hand, claw hand.
Claw, claw, claw.
So then Heather's big issue, her tort, was... why would you make fun of me? What's going on? Why would you make fun of me? Like, because you make it too easy. That's why.
Yeah, really. And Kelly just basically said, because you told me to leave. And she starts doing that hysterical, who? You. Who? You. She starts doing that kind of voice with her. She's like, you told me to leave. You did. You said leave. So, you did. Leave. And Heather's like, I didn't say that. I think what I said was that you seem like a very lovely person. Yeah. And I don't. And she goes, no, you didn't. You said leave. And then they cut to Heather saying that. But she was saying it like, I'm sure that somewhere deep down inside, you have a decent shred of humanity that's possibly okay and not completely odious. But until that person comes out, you may exit. Leave. Yeah. She's so mean to her.
It was amazing because Heather's like, listen, all I said is, I think you're a lovely person and I think you're absolutely just so sweet and so wonderful. But maybe you would step out for a moment. You know, I think I'd just appreciate it if you just would leave for just one sec, just for tad. It's like, no, Heather was not like that at all.
Yeah, and they cut, and she's a total monster.
Yeah.
And then, let's see. And then Tamara again. Oh, she goes, you were imitating me. And Tamara's like, why can't I keep my mouth shut, bitch?
Yeah.
And then this was a huge fight where Heather says behavior a lot and wags her finger in somebody's face. And Kelly's like... Well, I was hurt, and I know that I didn't speak well. You know, she can apologize well, like any abuser. They're very good at apologies.
Well, then she goes in this thing. She was like, well, you know, I heard that you don't want me coming to Glamis Dunes because you think I'm not going to be able to act properly in front of kids. And Heather's like, I never said that. I never said that, which is a lie because she did say it. But I'm sorry that Kelly said that. Vicky said that. And Heather did say it, but she said it to Tamara. And now Tamara's like, huh, look at me, my big fat mouth. It was an exaggeration. And then all of a sudden, Kelly starts crying because, do you understand how that made me feel? I'm a good mother. I went to school. I'm educated. You're not some hierarchy over me, okay?
And let's please take note of this, because this will be a huge fight where Heather confronts Vicky, and it was never Vicky in the first place. As usual, it's something that Tamara will start and will snowball and just go fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Heather finally comes around because Kelly starts crying, which Kelly really does have real tears, and she can whip them out. I mean, it's impressive. And Heather's like, well, her tears were actually tears. So, I mean, as an actor, I have to respect that. It's very difficult to achieve. So she kind of forgives her on a provisional basis. Like, who cares, stupid Heather? Like, who cares if Heather forgives you? I won't be invited to another party that makes no sense in the front yard of your house. Like, we're going to get a new bush in our front yard. Someone dig the first hole. We've catered it.
Gosh.
Which makes me nuts.
Okay, gosh. And so, that was the episode.
Oh, that was it, right?
That was it. That was it. Basically, there was sort of like an uneasy truce. Kelly was sobbing. She's like, I don't just attack people. And, you know,
and there you go.
It's there. You know, it's all good. And next week we can watch them flip over in a dune buggy.
Oh, yeah. I need medical attention over here. They're like, oh, my God, we almost died. Hey, guys, you remember that time we almost all died? But Jesus came. You know, that's going to be whipped out.
Yeah.
I said, when that dune buggy was upside down, I was like, thank you for telling me to get my implants out, Jesus, because those would have suffocated me.
I can't believe my Jesus chariot flipped over.
Chariot of, thank God that wasn't on fire, Jesus, Betch.
Hey, Betch, where we're going, we don't need roads, but we certainly need safety, because we just rolled over. I'm sorry, that made no sense.
Like, Heather's like, I will not roll over for Kelly. Whoop, I did. I actually literally did. Never mind. Take it back. Okay. What do you want to do now? Pee or continue?
Either one's fine. I'm looking at the live feed now. I do think that's Chris Brown sitting there with someone. So
he
came out all charming.
He's like, hey, everybody, want me to tell you some stories?
Hey, I did not just say go fuck the police. I'm here to be your friend.
Did you see my Instagram where I talked about copper choppers?
Let's move on to...
Oh, yeah, it is Chris, because some girl came on. She's like, Chris looks totally relaxed. Like, God for Chris. He's, like, totally relaxed. That is Chris. He's out there charming the cops. He's all jerky.
Like,
he's all jerky and janky.
Got a friend. Listen, it's basically like a tea party out there.
Yeah, pretty much. He's like, you guys want a bouncy house? It'll take 20 minutes to blow up. Shut up, Chris Brown.
Speaking of felons, why don't we move on to Real Housewives of New Jersey?
Okay, I'm closing in honorarium of this wonderful podcast. I'm closing both my Chris Brown window.
Okay, I'm going to close mine too.
Because no one shot him. Like, I really thought Chris Brown was going to get, like, something bad was going to happen. He was going to come out with guns or something. You know, because it's been since 3 in the morning. It's like almost 12 hours that he's been doing this.
Yeah,
but no,
that's why,
like,
Heather's
nothing.
Been up. She got a call from Chris. Chris, what's going on?
I'm exhausted.
Oh, God. I got to meet with Kelly later. Gosh.
I've been watching Chris Brown's Instagram since 3 in the morning. I'm so tired. Does anybody know what a copper chopper is?
So, Chris, I'm concerned about having you around my children. Can you promise me you won't get the cops involved? Okay.
Promise me you won't say the C word around the cops. No, you just said cops. Damn it, Chris. I should have been more specific.
Chris, promise me you won't put a gun in front of my children. Okay? Promise me.
God. Okay, so here we go. You want to do a mini Real Housewives of New Jersey?
Yeah, sure. So I just closed Chris Brown's. It won't be distracting. Yeah. So the reason why we're just going to do a mini is because nothing happened in this episode. They edited the previews, as they always do, but it was most egregious this week. They made it seem like there would be fighting, there would be tensions, there'd be screaming. Literally nothing happened. The women all went away for a spa weekend to some shitty place in the middle of New Jersey. When they walked in, first of all, they show up, there's a butler, okay? He has, like, champagne for them all. They're all lugging their suitcases up. No one's there to help them with their suitcases. The butler's just standing there watching them carry their giant bags.
I know, that was the worst butler of all time, huh?
It was the worst. And they get in, they're like, wow, this is not.
Wow. Is this?
There's this rug in the middle of the room that is like different shades of like teal and turquoise and purple and indigo. And it is so tacky. It is the most disgusting rug of all time. And then there's like a bar, and the bar has things like lemon juice in a bottle and like commercial sour mix.
Yes, like it has all of the gallon sized mixers that you buy at like Big Lots or whatever. It's like the Bloody Margarita, the Bloody Mary mix.
It was like some cheap ass frat party bar. Like, you know, you think of a spa, you know, or luxury, you imagine like a bunch of lemons and limes and some fresh produce and some mint and basil you could pluck off. Like, it's a spa. You think natural. And so it's just like, yeah, we got this sour mix over from A&P. Yeah, you can go make yourself a nice Tom Collins with it.
Oh, you God. Know? I'm Matt Butler. Siggy and Dolores, when they come up, Siggy's like, ah, it's a butler. Oh, hey, butler. Hey, do you need a wife? You want to date a girl? Her name is Dolores. I got a girl for you. And Dolores is
hello,
like,
gorgeous. Hello, gorgeous. I'm here. Don't mind my car. This is how I drive.
And Dolores is like, all right, if I was going to do the house after I left my husband, but then I went to another guy, but then, like, I ended up coming back to my original husband, but then I just felt alone, like, I need a new place. Would you give me new cabinets? Would you sand my cabinets? Would you just give me the money? Like, what would you do?
The butler's like, I quit. The butler's already hanged. He's already hanged himself.
Yeah, the butler's like, I have a message from a Mr. Sal who says, shut the fuck up, you stupid bitch, and get to the gym before I slice your balls off and feed them to you up your butthole. Like, that guy's crazy.
You know what's crazy about this butler is that, you know, I remember once seeing this movie with the butlers. I think it was Clue. It was called Clue. And, you know, it's funny because I never had a clue about what was going on in my marriage. You know, I never had a clue. But then I met my second fiance, and I was like, whoa. Like, that mean the first guy looked like nothing. Like, so then I was like, wow. So, but now I'm renewed, and I'm going home. Okay, put new tiles in, but I still don't have a clue on how much it costs, and I don't go to work. But you know what, though? My boo is sick, and I'm just trying my best. And this is what's going to be. Butler's like, so do you want champagne or not?
He's like, that movie Clue would have been so different because it would have just been an open plan. Like, nobody would have been able to hide because there wouldn't have been a wall in the kitchen. That's what I want for you, honey.
Here's the thing about Clue. All those people, they loved each other. They just didn't know how to say it. So they just were accusing each other of so many things because they felt insecure about themselves. But what they didn't realize, they loved each other all that time.
That person was Frick. That person was Frack. All they had to know was that if they were together in a bag, they would have made a delicious snack.
You know what the reason why that movie had three endings? Is because there's never one path in life, okay? We all take different paths. And we have clues along the way. And the butler sometimes turns out to be the man behind the curtain, okay? But that's what we learn. Because we all love each other. And I love my children.
Speaking of love, Tree is talking. Tree is another one who's always trying to convince everyone that her husband loves her and he's not like banging people in truck stops or whatever. Yeah. So her romantic story, she's like,
Joe is texting me. He says, calm your tits. And then I said, suck my tits.
They're like, that's so romantic, Tree. He loves you.
Yeah, she still doesn't understand what the expression tit for tat means. She thinks it's like erotica.
Oh, tit for tat, Joe.
So the one like minuscule moment of tension is sort of at the beginning of this spa weekend because, as you know, Jacqueline and Teresa just got in this big stupid fight, and so now it's like, oh, Jacqueline and Tree, they're in the same room. How's it gonna be? So they all like arrive at the spa thing, and Jacqueline arrives after Tree, and Tree's sitting there, and everyone's like, oh, hi, and then Jacqueline goes downstairs to a room in the basement. And she's like, hey, she's not going to say hi. So then they call Jacqueline up, and they make this funny thing like, Jacqueline, meet Teresa. Teresa, meet Jacqueline. And so then Jacqueline does this super awkward thing where she like walks up and like extends her hand like a handshake. She's like, nice to meet you. And yeah, Teresa's like,
she's like, I'm Jacqueline. Teresa's like, yeah, but I would have rather like a hug and a kiss. Like, what? Huh?
But it was really weird because you'd think it would be like a joke. Well, they both were dumb because Jacqueline extends her hand like a joke, but she also does it in this super rigid way. Like, no, I'm not joking. I'm only going to shake your hand. So Tree's like, I don't know. Should I shake her hand also or should we hug? And the whole thing was just like really terrible. And so then Jacqueline basically says, you know, when it comes to Teresa, you know, I'll speak when spoken to. Meaning if Teresa is friendly with me, I'll be friendly with her. I'm like, no.
That's like
when you
literally
say speak
not
and
what that
to
means.
You, that means that you're a child and you should be quiet until someone talks to you.
Yes, exactly. Which you should try sometime, Jacqueline.
Yeah. I mean, she is a child.
They're all stupid, though, because they said, why don't we start over and pretend like you're just starting your whole relationship over? So she goes, hi, I'm Jacqueline. Tracy's like,
what? What's she doing? Why is she saying that? Like, huh? She doesn't remember me? Huh?
It was so stupid.
Teresa's stupidity is endlessly entertaining. I can see why they won't do the show without her. She doesn't even have to do anything. She's like, I got a text from Joe.
Then, you know, and by the way, and like intercut through all this are like scenes of Joe Gorga, endless scenes of him being like, whoa, now that Melissa's not here, I don't know how to do anything in the kitchen. What's a baking sheet? What's an oven? What's a pencil? I'm like, how many of these scenes do we have to watch?
Yeah, thankfully, with or without Melissa, I can press the fast forward button. I was like, bye, Joe. Yeah. You're stupid. Take off your shirt or you're dead to me. I was just writing down rando things because I could just tell this was not going well this episode. So I just wrote down random things. I like when Siggy was going,
well, when I got a divorce, when I met my husband, he didn't have anything. He didn't have a penny to his name. He was so broke, like he was poor. And my friends were saying, why would you marry a poor person? You know, like when you're down, you see who your real friends are. But you know what I say? What goes down has to go back up.
Like, no. No, it doesn't. That's actually not how that works at all. But like,
yeah.
Welcome to gravity. Like, you're going to really flip your fucking face off when you hear about gravity, lady.
She basically described her life in between marriages, and it was essentially like the premise of Too Close for Comfort. She's like, so then my parents, we all moved into a townhouse because I couldn't afford anything, and everything was great. And then Jim J. Bullock moved in, and then my dad started up a cartoon, and then all of a sudden Muriel was like, oh my God. And then I met Michael Campanella.
Michael Campanella!
We didn't have much, but what we had was a whole lot of love. That's like the story of everything. Like, she tells that to everyone. So, ma'am, what would you like? I don't know what I'd like. I just want a whole lot of love. That's what I want, because that's what we all have. You're at a drive-thru, ma'am. I don't care. You can't drive through this love. It's like a wall. A mother's love is a wall. You can't break it.
So there was a moment where Teresa and I'm so sorry, I have to go back to that because she's talking about how her husband, you know, how he had nothing when they met, and when you go back up, you got to go back up or whatever she was going. And Melissa goes, yeah, I understand. One time Joe went into Costco and he called me and he's like, Melissa, a Costco card was expired, so we left. It's like, cheers to surviving. What is this, Schindler's List all of a sudden? Like, are we all going to have to start sobbing now? It's like, that's your story, Melissa. So we left.
No free samples.
Way to overcome, Melissa.
All I had was $1.50 so that way I could get the hot dog and soda combination. But then we couldn't have it because the card was expired. So we had to pay $3 at the neighborhood store.
You know, like I tell my children, if at first you don't succeed, leave. Leave. Just leave.
Yeah, exactly. And then they wind up at a fire pit. They're doing s'mores. And Dolores is like, they didn't have these when we were little. They didn't have these at all. I mean, I remember. Because, you know, back when I was little, oh, my God, Boo was just a puppy. And, you know, we just eat graham crackers. We'd have marshmallows and chocolate, but we never put them all together. I mean, s'mores. I mean, what a great idea. I mean, if I had known this with my first marriage, oh my God, things would have worked out well. But then with my second one, my fiance, oh, he would never have liked this. I'll tell you, every time I tried to have carbs around him, he'd be like, stop eating carbs. I said, oh my God. And I don't know. I felt pressure. Oh my God, maybe I might go back to the first guy. And like, you know, now I'm doing the kitchen over. I'm going to put a lot of marshmallows. I have a whole thing for chocolate in it and some graham crackers too. You know, it's a whole new life, you know, but I got to work out at the gym.
Fucking Dolores. That's like literally when they came out with s'mores.
S'mores were invented to shut up Dolores. Like, here, stuff this giant thing in your face, please. Oh, wow. Oh, of course.
This is why they started putting walls in the kitchen, so we don't have to hear you while you eat your s'mores.
Yeah. Okay. And by the way, something that I really enjoyed was that, like, Melissa starts going on about, like, well, you know, I'm missing Gio's first wrestling match. It's really hard because I'm missing his first wrestling match. I'm like, please, like, how are you talking about, like, oh my God, how sad I was when you missed the wrestling match because I was at the boutique? You're talking to Teresa, who was just in jail for a year. Like, honestly, just, like, be quiet. Be quiet. She missed a year of her children's life. Like, I don't think anyone cares because you missed a wrestling match because you were at a boutique, honestly.
Yeah, so they all start talking about their different kids doing whatever, and then Jackie goes to the bathroom and sobs, and she's like, my son will never play basketball or whatever. So Teresa comes in to be nice to her and be like,
oh, it's okay. Like, it's not his fault. Like, he tries, you know. Like, he'll be a good son.
she goes, what did she say to her? It was making me laugh so hard. She's like,
she's like, he'll be normal someday. This is like, hey, he can spell words more than my sons can.
Yeah,
my
basically.
Kids are idiots.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're going wrestling. Like,
yeah, he'll keep trying.
Teresa's so stupid.
Okay, come out now, buy a book.
So they all have this pajama party. By the way,
I will say, I did feel bad for Jacqueline. I feel like that was a very real emotion. But at the same time, I'm also like, you know, you had already actually two other children who are not autistic, and they are the things that you're crying. You're like, oh, there won't be a first for him, a first for them. I'm like, but you know what? Your other children have had those moments, you know, and like, you know, like you're kind of discounting all those moments with them. And I get it why she's crying.
Well,
too.
And you're also kind of discounting the moments that your kid does have. Like he has his own moments too. Like every kid has a different thing. My thing with Jackie is that what she's going through is a very real thing, obviously. Yeah. And it's something that...
And like, I get why she's crying too, but I'm also saying I wish she could just sort of see that she has it already, you know?
I know a few families were autism, and it's a bigger deal in some because there are different degrees of it, obviously. Yeah. But I don't know anybody who acts like Jackie. Like, I don't know anybody who brings it up constantly and cries about it on camera as much as possible. And whose husband comes on and says, like, I'm making this popcorn for autistic children. Like, really?
See, the popcorn stuff doesn't bother me as much. It really doesn't.
Like, when she came out, she's like, well, the stuff in the Blackwater really helps with autism. Like, fuck off. Like, I find her to be so offensive, Jackie.
See, that doesn't bother me as much because I think if I had a kid with autism and, you know, I was trying to like raise money for the cause and also get some money to help fund this, etc. Like I would use any platform I could too. So I don't really get as mad about that, but I feel like, and this may be reading in too much because, you know, by the way, we are totally aware that we're just seeing what's on TV and we're just reacting to that. This has no bearing on what she's really like, but I low key get a vibe that she's kind of competitive with other people. And I think that she...
Low-key vibing.
So, like, I feel like her tears are more like, you know, I want my kid to be just like that kid and that kid doing that kid. Like, you know, she's, I think, jealous a little bit of, you know, some kid's progress versus her son's. And it's like, you know, she shouldn't feel that way. And she should be very proud of her son. And she shouldn't feel sad by missing out on like first this or first that because she has CJ and she even has Ashley. And honestly, I don't know why she didn't shed these tears over Ashley, because I think Nicholas has done so much more with his life already.
For real. I mean, Nicholas knows how to properly work an iPad. I mean, Ashley's probably like, nightlight, this fucking thing keeps turning on every time I pass by. Can someone turn this thing off? It's like, oh, Ashley.
But she has turned herself around. So even Ashley, I mean, good for you, Ashley. She used to be like the worst child on Bravo. So, you know.
Well, she still kind of is. I mean, one of her big things on when she was a kid wasn't that whole fight between Danielle something between her? It was like Ashley. And then it turned into it being Jackie because she's like, don't you mess with my daughter. But it was mostly Ashley starting all that shit. And then Ashley's still doing it this season. She's like, well, if Teresa was really your friend, she would have called you to see what kind of makeup you're going to wear to the party, because that's what real friends do. She's just using you for whatever, whatever. You know, she's the same. She's just learned to talk better, as people do after high school.
All I'm saying, Jacqueline, is you have a beautiful young boy. Don't cry for what he won't be able to do, because he'll be able to do his own things, okay? So stop worrying about how he...
Okay.
Anywho, you mentioned there was a pajama party, there was beer pong, Teresa threw chocolate everywhere, and then it was on her butt, and made it look like she shat everywhere. So then the next day, by the way, I'm like, where is the spa part of the spa? So the next day, they all get into these ropes.
Did you not see the gallon jugs of Bloody Mary mix? Okay. Picky bitch.
So then they all get into these robes the next day, and they go over to like this pool and greenhouse, And it's basically like a public pool. Like it feels like a public. This is, to me, this is not a spa at all. Just because they're playing some Enya in the background or whatever.
Oh, it had that like white, that like really light bluish white bottom of a pool.
Yeah.
It's like the poor pool. Sorry, poor people with that kind of pool bottom.
So I have to say, by the way, this is already like 30 or 40 minutes into the episode. And I wrote a note that was like, if this were on Real Housewives of New York City, there already would have been about three fights. Two of them about the robes that they're wearing. Why didn't you wear them? Hey, why'd you wear the robe? That's my robe. That's from my room. Let's face it. It's my robe. It's my terry cloth. Okay?
This show is really struggling. And you know, because they're like, hey, what's Reno doing? Huh?
Yeah.
Has anybody wondered that? Literally anybody ever?
I know. It was
Let's
sort
go
of,
to Little
yeah.
Italy and check in on Reno.
And Joe's like, hey, how you doing? Like, so what, who cares? Like, what? Pasta? Huh? What? And Reno's like, yeah, pasta! Great story, guys. Thanks.
Joe's whole thing is he's like, I'm just concerned about the safety of my family, you know? Like, I can take care of my family, but I'm a man. And she's a woman, so I got a German Shepherd instead. You know, because women, they can't do anything.
Yeah, you know, like, I'm going to be going to camps, and, like, I worry about my daughters. Like, they don't want a dad who's in camps not getting blowjobs. I get blowjobs there, right? Like blowjobs? Do I get blowjobs?
By the way, somewhere in the middle here, there was a commercial for a new movie coming out called The Disappointments Room. I was like, oh, is this about my living room? Because I'm currently massively disappointed by this episode.
The Disappointments Room?
Yeah.
That's the best title of a movie I've ever heard.
It's a horror movie with Kate Beckinsale, whatever.
Oh, no. How does that girl keep getting in movies? She's very talented,
pretty.
But she's in a lot of shitty movies.
She's pretty. So the funny thing is at the pool, Melissa and Dolores are just chatting about how far Melissa and Teresa have come. And Melissa's like, yeah, you know, it's like, I still feel like I walk on eggshells a little bit. And Dolores is like, well, you know, it's not walking on eggshells. You know, you're just being observant. I'm like, why, you know, like you don't want to upset her. Da, da, da. They're just having a conversation. And Jacqueline's like, they're talking about us. I can read lips. I know what they're saying. I was like, oh, God.
Most
you are
insecure
such a
week
petty
on Bravo
idiot.
Ever. Because it's the week after Luann was like, you can all stop talking about me now, girls. Over on Real Housewives of New York. And then we've got Jacqueline like, what are you talking about? You're talking about me over there. I know you are. Jacqueline's meds, you know, that's something that people always say, like, oh, they must be off their meds. Jacqueline really is just so all over the place. She's got to be on some kind of meds that wear off midday.
She is in a crazy place right now. And then afterwards, then she and Tree get massages, and Tree's like, you know, I always, you know, anytime you have an issue, you just can always call me. That's fine. And she's like, wow, she is my friend. Wow, Lucy and Ethel reunited. So now all of a sudden they're fine out of nowhere.
Yeah. And then they're eating nuts or something, and Tree's like, yeah, nuts, yum, yum. You are so ridiculous.
And then they cook dinner. They have like they all cook a nice dinner, which looks actually really tasty. And they're talking about Tree and Jack and saying like, yeah, we're fine now. We buried the hatchet. Like, it's fine. We talked it out. And of course, Melissa's passive aggressive. She's like, wow. Like, I wish – I'm so jealous because it took me so much longer to clear the air with Tree.
Yeah, I can kind of see why Teresa wanted to just stab Melissa. Because seeing Melissa's version of being nice, she's so underhanded. Every time she turns around, it's like, oh, look at me. I'm dealing with that monster, Teresa, and actually doing a good job, you know, like getting a pat on the shoulder for it. She's kind of the biggest asshole on the show, but she's flying so far under the radar. You can't really tell until days like this where she's just trying so hard over and over to start a fight. And she can't because Teresa is on her meds. So she's like, and then Jackie, I hear you two talking about me. I'm really sick of it.
Again. They're like, please, Jack. Everyone's just like, Jacqueline, shut up.
Like, what are we talking about your secret popcorn recipe? Literally nobody is talking about you ever. Please be quiet.
Meanwhile, like, Siggy is now trying to explain the entire Teresa Jacqueline disconnect. She's like, listen, Jacqueline is a deep person, okay? She's a very deep person. And Tree, she's very shallow and stupid, okay? So she doesn't understand these things. Jacqueline wants to know this, 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 and this. And she starts taking some stuff out of a jar. She's like, Jacqueline wants all this. And Tree's like, what? And puts the stuff back in the jar. And I'm like, hey, there's more stuff for all of us in the jar, okay? We can all have stuff from the jar. We can have salt. We can have pepper. We can have whatever condiment we want, okay? As long as we all have love for each other, because we all love each other and our children.
And Teresa's like, fuck jar! Yes. And she just throws everything in the jar on the ground. It's like, oh, thanks for coming by, Teresa.
And then the whole episode ends with them doing yoga and Shree being like, yeah, yeah. Then, you know, sometimes you queeve. This queeving. Is that what they call it? Queeving?
Teresa!
Yeah, that's what you call it. It's like queeving.
And they go, what's that? She's like,
yeah, you know, like when you're having sex and like air comes in and out of it and you get air in there. And
Siggy goes, so it's a fart out of your vagina, is what you're saying. Okay. All right, Teresa.
Yeah. But you know what? You know what? I love that queef because I love everything that comes out of my vagina, including Sophie and my son, whatever his name is. Joshua? I don't know.
If I could hug my vagina, I'd hug it. Super positive, Siggy.
Back when I was poor, I took my queef and my children, and we all lived in a townhouse with my parents, okay?
And that's my vagina grew up in a cellar. There you go. Is my vagina always on the phone? No. No, we fixed it.
This is how my vagina drives.
I'm going to teach my vagina to drive. It's like the next Housewives storyline with her vagina.
I love that, Siggy. Love her. I love Dolores, too. Dolores cracks me up.
And that brings us to another end of another week of Jersey.
The ratings for New Jersey are apparently in the trash this season. Apparently, New York, we talked about this last week, I think, that New York's ratings are the highest since like 2011. New Jersey is down. But hopefully, you know, it takes a while. If you have a bad cast, a bad season, it takes a little while for it to come back. So hopefully,
well, this many new people, it's going to take a while. Because Jacqueline and Teresa aren't new, and Melissa's not new. But, you know, this Teresa and Melissa talking is new. And Teresa trying to pretend she's a good person is new. So there's a lot of new cast things that have to happen.
Yeah, because last season was really so bad, and like when you have a new cast, it takes like a few seasons for the audience, like if you're not like tolerant the way we are, it takes some seasons for the audience to get into them and to embrace them. And since we're basically pushing the reset button a second time, that's really hard for an audience. However, the twins are making a return next week on the show, so we can all look forward to that. And oddly enough, when I saw them in the preview, I was like, oh yay, because I realized that while I really disliked them on the show as characters, I always really enjoy when shows reference the past. So even if they were only on for one season, I'm always tickled when there's a cameo to show the past. Like they're not forgotten.
Yeah, agreed. And as far as I remember, of course, my memory is very selective, as you guys know. But from what I remember, we actually liked them. It was just...
Yeah, it was Amber.
It was Amber, but it was also that they were all trying so hard. It was like one long audition season, and they were all so desperate and sad. But they were actually pretty funny. I mean...
They were amusing. They were amusing.
That chick married DeReno, and then we found out he possibly fucked the mom. I mean, that's some real shit. And she did not seem to know. She was like, what? So
yeah, the other one had Bobby, who locked himself in the bathroom.
Yeah, Bobby the gay firefighter. Who was just coming on to flirt with Joe? Wasn't he coming on to flirt with Joe? Who was it? Oh, that was so
funny. I don't know what it was. All I know is that they met in Dunkin' Donuts while she was drinking a culata.
Culata!
All right.
Well, we'll deal with that next time. So next time we're going to have Real Housewives of Melbourne, and we're also going to have the Real Housewives of New York City Part 1 finale reunion. Blah! Where Fantastic. Somebody tells Bethany she's a horrible person. And her name is Luann. It's like, well, you're a horrible person.
Can't wait.
We'll see you guys then. Thanks for everything. Talk later.
Bye.
Bye.
Can't get enough Watch What Crappens? Head over to TuneIn now and check out exclusive content from our podcast. Each week we'll provide bonus material including
exclusive hot takes on Bravo shows,
the latest in reality show gossip,
and impressions of Bravo reality stars. Check out Watch What Crappens on TuneIn Premium. Download the app and subscribe to TuneIn Premium for just $9.99 a month today.